And we're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. And we're talking with our guest from NBAF today, the National Bio and Agro Defense Facility, Dr. Ken Burton, Katie Pulaski, and Dr. Frida Isaac, who is the Executive Director of APHIS Diagnostics and Biologics. We're going to switch gears just a little bit, talk to Dr. Burton here. Last month, you mentioned that there have already been some Plum Island scientists who have visited to look at the laboratory facilities in the community. Does that mean that they are close to moving west?
Great question, Brandon, and one that we're making steady progress on. As Dr. Isaac mentioned, you know, some members of the team from Plum Island are coming here for visits, and some are getting closer to making that move. I think the last number that we've heard is around 40 that have committed to not necessarily committed, but indicated that they are planning on moving to Manhattan to NBAF. But the purpose of these more recent visits, as Frida said, is to allow those who will actually be leading the work in the laboratories a chance to come to Manhattan and go through NBAF and actually see and walk through the spaces that they'll be working in. So up until now, the scientists and staff on Plum Island have been working off of what's called a basis of design drawings and interactions with our team here in Manhattan to try and get a feel for what the spaces will look like. So to really be able to see the laboratory spaces in person allows them to get a better perspective on the flow patterns, the work efforts that they've been working on, how the standard operating procedures that they're developing actually fit the spaces that they'll have to be working in, and then a chance to see how the laboratory equipment fits within the laboratory. So we had trips that were previously scheduled in January and February. We've had to bump them now to March and April due to the spike in COVID that we had recently, and just to make sure that we kept the safety of the employees, not only the ones that are traveling, but the ones that are here in mind. But we're really looking forward to more of those trips in the very near future. So our hiring efforts up until now have really been a blend of already hiring some people who actually work for the team at Plum Island Animal Disease Center, but live here in Manhattan and then travel as the pandemic allows them to periodically to Plum Island to do their work. And then those who currently live in New York and Connecticut will actually transfer to Manhattan in the future. So in the future, instead of really seeing kind of what was painted originally as this mass influx of scientists from Plum Island into Manhattan, it's going to be more of a current trickle into the Manhattan community as NBAF takes ownership of the facility and we get closer to being fully operational. But those moves will ramp up even more as portions of the scientific program actually begin transferring to NBAF. As we make the transition from Plum Island to NBAF, one of the things that probably the general public doesn't recognize or realize that's important is there can't be any lapse in USDA's foreign animal disease surveillance, research efforts, response or diagnostic services. You know, once things are transferred from Plum Island, it has to be a seamless transition from the activities at Plum Island to the activities at NBAF, because you never know, you know, when a foreign animal disease outbreak or some type of a emergency response would occur, and so there can't be any downtime. So we'll need to make sure that Plum Island science continues and in some cases, many cases, overlaps NBAF science activities for continuity of operations. So the transitioning of the Plum Island employees is a continuous process that actually has already begun. So we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is exciting. Katie, how many people are expected to transfer from Plum Island to NBAF?
Yeah, Brendan, that's a good question. So as Dr. Burton mentioned, the last number we've seen just as of now, again, there's so much work still happening at Plum Island, and that facility is still going to be operational here for quite some time. So the last number we've seen so far is around 40 or so that anticipate moving here. But that was really just a preliminary number, as folks are making that big decision. But it is important to note, Brandon, that we have already had a few employees from Plum Island transferred to MBATH to help us with the transition and operations of the facility. One example is Patrick Moylan, our operations director. He was on the show over the summer, I believe, after he joined our team and moved to the area. And there are a few others helping with everything from the science transition to moving into jobs and security and other operations as well. So, and I think it's important to note that the experiences and expertise that these team members that were at Plum Island bring to MBATH is so vital as we navigate this transition. So we, as we've said before, Brandon, we will have about 400 total USDA employees at MBATH. So we have started hiring, you know, all the operational employees first, since the facility itself and all the equipment in it needs to be operational before we can transfer the science. So out of that 400, about three quarters, so really just under 300, about 287 will be on the operations side, dedicated to running the facility and everything that goes with that, administration, training, safety, security. And so that leaves just more than 100 positions dedicated to the science activities. So we've got already hired or transitioned about 240 employees at MBATH now. I know we've mentioned this before, about 175 of those have been onboarded during Maxim telework during the pandemic. So many haven't worked in person with the team and have been teleworking from their homes. But in short, we've got about 160 positions left to fill, a few still on the operations side, but mostly science. Some of those science positions will be filled through our workforce development program. We spoke about those last month. And we hope that many more will continue to see this area as they come to visit and from Plum Island and other areas as our facility stands up. So we do recognize and understand that it's a big decision to pick up and move halfway across the country and trade in beaches for prairie. But part of our job is to continue to provide any assistance we can to ensure that the Plum Island team has all the information they need to make an educated decision. I think last year we mentioned on this show even that we hosted a teleconference for the Plum Island team as well as our MBATH team with the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce so people could get more information, find out what the area has to offer, and why some of our residents enjoy it so much.
All right. And to that point, have there been any concerns expressed or challenges from any of the scientists that with the move to the Manhattan community, the Manhattan community could help address?
You know, Brandon, I think with the challenges, from the perspective of challenges, you know, moving households from the East Coast to the Midwest is probably the most frequent challenge that we hear. But USDA has some great programs to assist in those moves to make those easier. With respect to the Manhattan community, from our understanding, the general perception of those from Plum Island that have visited the Manhattan community is it's just everything that they would be hoping for as far as it's very welcoming. They've used the term, it's a charming community. I think they're really pleasantly surprised at everything that the area actually has to offer with, you know, respect to the wide variety of activities, both outdoor, cultural, sporting, you know, family-related activities that are available. The proximity to larger cities where they can, if they want to go in and do some other activities a larger city would offer, they can do that. And then I think they really appreciate the good selection of the restaurants and the culinary choices here in the community. So we've heard from a few of the people who have already moved to the area that there's, you know, they really are enjoying the strong sense of community or feeling that they belong. The fact that neighbors and friends in the area offer to support each other and sharing kids' carpool duties or being emergency contacts for each other and even being in the middle of a pandemic with the limited social activities, many are, you know, still practicing social distancing, but it's had challenges from that perspective, but they've worked around that and still feel like they're, you know, welcome members of the community. So I think overall, more surprises and pleasant feelings than any particular challenges.
All right. Well, go ahead.
Yes, we have a second brain. I was just going to add that, you know, in my interactions, most of the questions or inquiries I've received about the area have been related to outdoor activities, things like hiking trails, dog parks, arts and culture, shopping, things like that. One that surprised me, we get a lot of questions about tornadoes because that's something that the team at Plum hasn't experienced. So our team has really has been doing our best to answer those questions. We share information about the local area and region in our internal newsletter, both for our team members who are new to the area as well as for those at Plum Island who are looking to move here. So, but I'll echo what Dr. Burton said, and that's just that mostly we've heard really positive experiences from those that have had the opportunity to visit.
All right. That's not too surprising with the tornado thing. I have some family live out of state, and they all ask me that every time I visit them. What's it like? You ever seen a tornado out there in Kansas? Nope. I've had some close calls, but no, have not seen one. So, very interesting. Is there anything else before we wrap up here that you guys want to highlight this morning?
No, Brandon, just want to thank Dr. Isaac for joining us this morning, and just we really appreciate the senior leadership and the executive leadership that we get from outside of the NBAF organization, you know, here locally. They've just been extremely supportive, and people like Frida have just been instrumental to us moving things forward the way we need to move them forward. So it's very appreciated. The work that her and her team do is critical to our success.
All right. Well, Dr. Isaac, thank you for being part of the program today.
Well, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed it, and really, I enjoy my visits to Manhattan. I've been there so many times, I don't know how many over the years, and I definitely would agree with a lot of the comments about, you know, how, you know, the community itself, and so I've enjoyed it there. But thank you so much for having me on.
You bet. That's going to wrap up our first half of the program. Thank you to Dr. Isaac and Dr. Burton and Katie Pulaski for being part of our program this morning. Stay tuned. We'll hear from General Wiggins up next on News Radio KMAN.